from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is the Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, You're Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Read and React Ivy Podcast. This, I think, is episode number 110. Technically, it's our 101 episode of Tom and I. This is the spot where we tackle the other side of fantasy football, the more refined side, the more sophisticated side. And with me is a very sophisticated gentleman, Tom Kissingberry. Of course, I'm Sticky Z. Tonight, we're going to be going over free agency. It's like a week into free agency, a week and a half into the legal tampering period. We're going to break down some of the trades that have gone down. We're going to break down the free agents that have happened, talk about who's available, and kind of see what the impact of these guys are. It's a good time to get deals on people. So, Tom, how you doing, bud?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, pal. Really happy to be sitting here talking about football. Free agency is more exciting than the draft to me. So I love seeing it. First week of free agency, we're probably not going to say that many trades. We'll get, oh my God, it was so brilliant. But here in the IDP world, we don't care about money, right? It doesn't bother me if you're paying him $25 million a year. I want to know if he's going to produce.
Yeah, I mean, my brand is the cap is fake, so I couldn't care less about the money. I don't look at the money for anything. It's all fake. It's all messageable. The teams do so much with it to make it fake, and it goes up so much. I think they get new TV deals next year, and it's going to go up $50 million. Mm-hmm. So like it really doesn't matter. You know, if you want to come at me with percent of cap, maybe I'll look at that. But the largest edge deal all time means absolutely nothing to me.
I like it when you speak in capital letters. You're very American.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
We do. Love it.
Caps lock is cruise control for cool. Yeah, that's it.
So our plan is basically just to touch on big deals, right? So again, as always, we're here from an IDP point of view. And basically the questions that are floating around this time of year is, who the hell is this guy that my team signed? How is he going to fit into that team? What are his numbers going to look like? And is it worth me going after him as an IDP? Those are our questions. So we just thought we'd touch on big names, big moves, big trades, and see if we can shed a little bit of light.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like, you know, if you already own these guys, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of insight into their value, and then also like what's going to look like going forward, so you can make sort of an informed trade of them or pick somebody up or look at your waivers and stuff like that. So let's start with the trades. We'll start with the trade of Khalil Mack to the Chargers. I think it's pretty great. You know, he wasn't amazing for the Bears. Obviously, he's taken a huge step back in terms of what he can do. And he's a bit older now, so I don't think it's like, you know, top 10 maybe edge guy, but I think it's a really, really good move for him and really good for his IDP value.
Yeah, agree. I really like him there. I'm less of a believer than most people are in the, you know, this guy takes away attention from blockers and therefore the other guy works. So I don't really care that, I don't think it has any effect on Joey Bosa at all. Frankly, I don't think it has that much effect on Khalil Mack. But I really like it as a location and a landing spot. We should mention it's the Chargers, right? So even though they were a bottom five or six defense last year, of course it's the offseason. So we have to say, oh my God, it's the Chargers. They've got such a deep roster. They're going to be such an amazing defense next year, because everyone always does. But Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack is probably the best pair of edges in the NFL at the moment. You can probably argue for a couple. But remember last year, people were going, oh, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. People thought that. And Mack is way, way better than Clowney is as a player. Even now, coming off injury into his 30s, that is a fine pair of edge rushers. So assuming health and luck is all equal and everything, I'd be absolutely shocked if Khalil Mack wasn't a top 20 edge.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be really good. I think there's definitely a lot of snaps on the table for him to play, and he's played a lot and in different years and different phases of his career. So I don't think it's like something where he needs to be like a situational guy at all. I don't think he's at that level yet. He's definitely getting there, but I don't think he's there yet. So it's a good spot. Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be really nice both ways. And you said it. I mean, I don't know if it's the best duo, but it's pretty on paper. I mean, it's pretty nasty. And you know, if he can be a even, you know, 70% of what he was before he got traded from the Raiders, I mean, that's a absolute smash for the top duo in the league for sure.
Yeah, agree. That's a really good starting point for the Chargers to get much better. So really like this trade for everyone involved, apart from the Bears, obviously. But, you know, that's what happened when you trade multiple first for a defensive player.
And I will say, too, that there's really nobody... There's nobody else who, like, really is getting, like, hurt either in this situation. I think a lot of times, you know, there's a young guy that everyone's like, this guy he's the next up. And then a trade happens and that guy gets crushed. And, you know, it's not Uchenna Nwosu. Like, it's really... They really didn't have like a strong edge guy after Melvin Ingram. Oh, that was right. That was him. Yeah, after he was gone. So, yep, should be good.
Yeah, love it. All right, the other trade is really interesting as well, which was Yannick Ngakoue traded from the Raiders to the Colts. Rocky Asin, the corner, moved the other way, but we don't really care too much about that. He's sort of interesting. And Ngakoue's interesting, right? And we talk about him all the time because he's such a fascinating player. He's one of the best pure edge rushers in the NFL. Okay, he's not on the Myles Garrett, Bosa brothers scale of being an all-round player that can do it, but if you just want a guy you can pin his ears back and get round the tackle and get to the cornerback on the bend, there's very few people better than him. It's just, he's onto his, whatever it is, fifth NFL team, and people trade him away because that's all he does. He can't be bothered doing anything else. So oppositions know this, right? And, you know, fans of teams that have Ngakoue going, oh, well, that's all he's got to do. He's got to rush the pass. We don't want him to stop the run or do anything else. Yeah, but if he's out there on the field, then offenses go, let's call an audible and run the ball in because he hates it and he's not very good at it. And it's generally pretty easy. So, weird player.
I think that's true. I think he's basically only a pass rusher. And I think it's actually a really, really great fit because I feel like this team has a lot of good edge defenders and something they are constantly like, that's what they're producing, is really solid run stopping edge guys, and he's the opposite of that. So I think it actually is a really nice spot for him to just kind of be what he is, which hopefully is what they kind of get out of him.
So it comes down to volume. We know Ngakoue is going to get his sacks when he's on the field. He's going to be pretty efficient, but he played what, 800 snaps last year for the Raiders, and that was way higher than I expected. I thought he was going to play 500 600, something like that. And you know, the Raiders weren't very good, and they faded pretty badly, and they've just traded him away for an also-run middle-of-the-road corner. So the Raiders can't have been that happy with him. And you look at the Colts, and you think they're... Well, who knows what Gus Bradley's going to do? He clearly likes Yannick Ngakoue. But I'd be surprised if he plays close to that volume again.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, we'll see if he kind of brings up that, you know, the Seattle type of defense there, and if Ngakoue can be sort of that over edge defender, that would be pretty good if he's a kind of in that role. So I really like it. Like, honestly, as a player who kind of lost a ton, has losing value, and like kind of just been skating off of a couple good years, I really think that this is a really, really good spot for him. Like, really good.
Interesting to see what happens with the Colts, because Kwity Paye, we really like, we've talked about quite a lot as a year two breakout. Yannick Ngakoue on the other side, really like that. Lots of talent, but quite lightweight guys. So, you know, the Colts are absolutely going to rotate a little bit and try and show some different looks. Interesting, yeah, to see what that looks
for
like.
Sure. Going to be a lot of time on this, you know, in rundowns and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really excited to see that one. So this time of year, everyone's like writing out their 11 defenders, and that's what the defense is. But, you know, especially for teams like this, and it's a massive league-wide trend, teams are rotating edges more and more and more. So don't just see this guy and go, he's a starter, he's going to play every snap. You've got to understand in the IDP world which teams are likely to give their starting, in inverted commas, players more time than others.
Yeah, this one now I'm looking at it more, it's definitely going to be a bit of rotation, so maybe cool the Jets a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Sticky. Cool the Jets. Because they have Deo Odenbo, you know, second round pick from last year. He's a bit of a rusher as well, so yeah.
Yeah.
Cool in the Jets.
I mean, so sort of similar to Bills players, and we'll talk about them in a little bit. in best ball, I love all these guys. Kwesi Paye and Yannick Ngakoue are brilliant best ball options. It's just I'm going to feel pretty nervous about starting them every week.
Yeah, I think that's a great transition to moving over to some of the non-trade players, because you said the Bills, and like,
yeah,
okay, Von Miller gets to go to the Bills. You know, he's 33 years old, basically, at the Bills, and like gets a huge contract, which, you know, you can miss me with that, but I don't think it's like a boon to his value. I think you would have been much better off, at least from an IDB perspective, by staying on the Rams. Now, from a NFL perspective, yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
He can come in and play, yeah, you know, limited numbers and be really effective for them, and, you know, be an awesome pass rusher when you look at a stat sheet. But I don't know if I'll be something I want to rely on for like week in, week out on the IDP side of the ball.
No, it really worries me, to be honest. But it's also one of the hardest to predict. So let's look at Von Miller. When he landed on the Rams last year, he played, what, 8 games in the regular season, and he averaged 54 snaps per week. So pretty much for an NFL-age player, that's about as much as you're going to play. That's quite a lot. The Bills' top edge rusher last year was Jerry Hughes in the regular season, and he averaged 32 snaps per week. So that is over 20 snaps different. Now, sure, everybody goes, oh yeah, but he's Von Miller, so the coach is going to change their mind, and they're going to totally change because they paid him, and he's really good, and blah, 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 all those things. Yeah, but last year they spent a first-round draft pick on Gregory Rousseau as well. We've talked about the Bills for months. They are going to rotate everybody. Their obvious belief, and they've shown it for years and years and years by how they act, is they think pass rushers are better when they're fresh, not just rolling their guy up. So, okay, could Jerry Hughes play 35, 40 snaps a week? No, not Jerry Hughes, sorry, Von Miller. Yeah, sure, he could, but I mean, that's still not going to be a lot. That's still not going to put him in the top 25, 30 players in the NFL. So it worries me a little bit. He was still fantastic last year. He had a brilliant season, but I think for his IDP value, it is worse than it could have been.
Absolutely. Like I said, if he's in the Rams, I think it would have been really solid for his IDP.
Yep.
Value-wise, on the Bills, it's real bad. I mean, best ball, great. You know, true position best ball, probably really going to be really solid, but putting him in your lineup every week is going to be really, really brutal, I think. Just with all the guys they added last year, and even like some of the guys they're bringing back, like, yeah, it's gonna be gross,
really gross, tricky. All right, let's talk about another big name. Oh, I tell you who I want to ask you about. Chandler Jones has gone to the Raiders. Whilst we're talking about the Raiders quite a lot, and by the way, I like what they've done to their roster so far. Nice moves.
I mean, that whole AFC West is ridiculous. So definitely a bit of an arms race. People have said, yes, Chandler Jones gets to go there. People talking about he'll be a DE in NFL. I don't know. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about true position where he's already an edge player. I like it. I mean, obviously he's probably going to play a pretty good amount. He played pretty a lot in Arizona. So definitely not a player that needs to rest much, even at his age. And like, are you going to take him off for Cleveland Farrell? I don't think so. So it's going to be him and Max Crosby show. And I think he'll be pretty solid. I don't know. I don't know about like his full-on fitness and all those things. But I think it's a nice landing spot. Not much has changed, I think, for me.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it suits him quite a lot. He's clearly declining. He's not as good as he was. And all edge rushers decline. That's just fine. But he was really good. Could he be a top 24 edge? Yeah, absolutely. And I really like his chances a lot more to do it in Las Vegas. So I wouldn't be surprised if Chandler Jones played, I don't know, 200... more snaps than Von Miller did this year. And okay, Von Miller's a better player, even at this stage in their careers. But I would expect volume to out. So I really like this for Chandler Jones. I think it's a really good landing spot for him.
I think that's an easy over for sure on that one. And, you know, Chandler Jones played about 875 snaps last year. Yannick Ngakoue, who's, you can kind of say he's taking his position, 883. Yannick Ngakoue played 883. So, and Max Crosby at the top, 977. So, I mean, it's going to be in the 800 range, probably, which for an edge rusher, this day and age, is a lot. That's a lot. So, even if it's in the 700 ranges, I think that'll be really, really good for Chandler Jones. And I think he was already kind of at the top, you know, edge group. Obviously, he's a bit older for Dynasty, but, you know, kind of an oldie but a goodie. Someone you can rely on.
Yeah, Chandler Jones, we should raise our fun stat as well. So, in week one last year, he rushed the passer about 30 times, 5 sacks. In the rest of the season combined, he rushed the passer about 450 times, combined 6 sacks. So, I mean, that's just what happens with pass rushing. It's weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. 47 pressures at 875 snaps. Max Crosby, 108 pressures, only 100 more, which is insane numbers. So obviously some regression coming there. And I really think, like, I think it's time we could say Clelin Ferrell, total reach, total bust, which really sucks. I liked him a lot, but he's done for.
I'm surprised he's still on the roster. Really surprised, actually. Yeah. After they sacked Mayock, it's a perfect opportunity to go, look, it didn't work out. We had to get rid of everyone in the room for various reasons. Just get him off the roster. Nobody wants him here. It's not working for anybody.
It's early days, as your people would say, for him to get.
All right, we'll come back and talk about Max Crosby in the next couple of weeks. That's not a chat for today. Who's your next edge pick that you want to play? We've probably got time for a few more before we get into others.
Yeah, I kind of have my list sorted here by just AAV, the deals that they signed, which is going to be edge guys first anyway, right? For the most part, unless you're signing a corner for $82 million, who's not very good. But we're not going to talk about corners. Anyway, Randy Gregory is the one I had up, moved from Dallas to Denver. I do not like this at all. I don't like Randy Gregory. I didn't like Randy Gregory. You know, he was a good pickup for like 3 weeks and then was totally nothing last year. Boy, I mean, you're really hoping you get a lot out of Bradley Chubb and somehow that helps Randy Gregory in some small way, because I don't like this move at all. Tell me I'm wrong, Tom.
Yeah, I'm with you. I worry about Randy Gregory because he hasn't played very much, right? His career has been stop-start for his own reasons, but just as a player, you look at him now and everyone's like, AFC West, and they're listing these players and they're listing, you know, Randy Gregory and there as this real amazing arms race player. And you're like, is he? He's an okay player. Mm-hmm. He's not bad. He's one of the best 64 edges in the NFL, sure. Is he top 40? Yeah, probably is. Is he top 20? Absolutely not. So, I know, I don't think Bradley Chubb is, although who knows, because Bradley Chubb has just had a weird, weird 4 years in the NFL. Yep. So, I don't really know what to expect. I'm really excited about this defense in total. I think they've done some nice things, and I want to see it. Mm-hmm. But, bang average pair of edge rushers, if you ask me.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the defense more, I think, when we get down to some of the linebackers and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, because AFC West, like you're talking about, like, they showed, like, I saw a graphic that was, like, all the duos, and it was, like, I was saying one of these is not like the other, and everyone else was, like, Frank Clark and Chris Jones, but I'm like, Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory are nothing compared to Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, you know? So it's just, like, I don't know. I mean, there's a big hope that you can read. Randy Gregory is going to be solid. I mean, there are snaps to be had. I think their leading edge rusher with Bradley Chubb being hurt was Malik Reed last year. So obviously there's opportunity for both of them to play a good number of snaps, but I just, I'm a little wary. I think it's somebody, maybe, you know, if you can sell on the hype that you picked him up off the waiver wire because you didn't know if he was going to play last year, and you can sell on some of the hype, like, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with also, like, kind of waiting and seeing kind of how it goes, because they're obviously, when you're playing a lot, you know, things can happen. We don't really know where Bradley Chubb is at either, and his recovery from injury and you know where he's at. So there's a chance, of course, but it's not someone that I'm like, you know, super looking to go buy. And, you know, I'm thinking now that we're sitting here, I'm like, this always happens where we have these fun free agency talks and then the draft comes and like blows it all up. But as of right now, Randy Gregory is not a player that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. I'm sort of with you. Really good point, by the way. We're going to try and refrain from making big predictions because the draft would just change everything. So it's a bit of a waste of time. I can't wait to talk about the Broncos once we've seen the draft, because last year they had a couple of massive holes in the roster and they were still a really good defense. And you look at it now and go, there's some real personnel problems. So, all right, come back to that one. Tell me about Haason Reddick. What's he going to do in Philly?
I know this was an interesting one. I thought he'd want to stay with Matt Rhule, but like, obviously he didn't. I think with finally with Derek Barnett being gone, I think it could be good. I mean, obviously he's had a bit of a fluky career, but in the past 2 years he's been much better than he ever was. He's played really well, and I think the snaps are going to be there. It's going to be a small rotation. I mean, you got Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham still under contract, so there's going to be a small rotation there. So I think he'll be effective. I think he'll be very effective. I don't think. Not a player that I'm, you know, looking at in a startup that I need to acquire. I think there's other ways I'd like to go with, you know, that value we talked about last week in the ADP talk. There's definitely other ways that I want to go, because he's just not a player that I'm in love with. But you get the DE tag if you're still playing in the 10 years ago. No, I'm just kidding. If you're playing a couple years ago, you're not in the true position. You don't know if I get a DE tag, which is nice. But it's just not somebody that I'm, like, super crazy about. How do you feel about it, Tom?
Yeah, you touched on most of it. I think he's an okay player. You briefly responded to it, which is he's had the luck, right? So he is a decent pass rusher who happens to have turned a huge proportion of his pressures into sacks. Great, good for him. I'm sure he got loads of points out of it, but it's not bankable and it's not helpful going forward. So I don't see him that close to being a top 15, top 20 guy. I think it's probably his ceiling to sneak in there. So I'll be down on him compared to the market.
Yeah, I think he plays a good amount. I think that's definitely something I could say as an Eagle fan who's gonna he's gonna play a lot. You know, Brandon Graham's I think 33 now. He's a bit older, and there's not a lot behind them as of now. Of course, you know, Eagles have 3 first round picks, so I'm sure we'll see something in the trenches. But yeah, as of right now, there's not a lot behind him, so he definitely play a lot. I'll say that. So if he was sitting there like 17, I'd be like, yeah, it's good. I'd rather have Josh Sweat. I'll just say that. I think at the terms of price, I'd rather have Josh Sweat.
Yeah. It's going to be a rotation. Again, pretty clearly. I would expect them to draft someone, probably add someone else as well. So again, just looking at volume, last year the Panthers were big believers in their starting guys, right? They're both playing 50-plus snaps a week. Derek Barnett, for whatever reason, led the Eagles at the position last year with about 45. So straight away, you'd expect him to lose about 10 snaps a week. And the Panthers were playing very, very little. So probably, in real terms, 10 to 15 fewer snaps per week, which is going to hurt him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, who we got next? I think that's it for the edge players, right?
There's a few players I want to touch on really quickly. So one, Dante Fowler. Is still in the NFL and has signed somewhere. Can't remember. Someone gave him. Oh, he's gone to Dallas, hasn't he? And Cowboys fans, no, like, Dante Fowler. Yeah. Could they recognize the name? He's not very good. He's really not very good. So don't get too excited about that one. Uchenna Nwosu, I want to talk about again. Seahawks fans, he's full of potential. No, he's been in the NFL 4 years and he's never really been very good. And the Chargers have been desperate to keep him off the field. So not excited about that at all. And Seattle, again, rotate more than probably just about anybody else in the NFL. So that one worries me a little bit. I'll tell you who I quite like, a bit of positivity. Dorrance Armstrong, re-upped in Dallas. And I know this sounds weird, but I quite like that. So they basically got DeMarcus Lawrence and Dorrance Armstrong, who are their top guys on the edge. Apart from Micah Parsons, whatever the hell he's going to do. They'll probably add someone as well. But I think Dorrance Armstrong is an okay player who's a little bit under the radar.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's one of those high floor, low ceiling type guys, which have a ton of a spot on our deep roster. So love that there.
Definitely right, agree with that.
Do you want to touch on DT much? Right. I mean, I don't think there's too much really. Harrison Phillips, I think, is the only one that is the only name that I'm like kind of interested in going from Buffalo to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a part time player. Fletcher Cox re-signing, that doesn't really move much of a needle for me. I don't really think he's that great anymore. That's really it.
There are very few good pass rushers. So this is a league question. If you're in one of those leagues where interior DTs only basically are scored on pass rush and everything else is sort of so-so, mm-hmm. who cares? You've got very, very little. Matt Ioannidis got cut by the committee. So he's floating around. I don't hate that. He's quite interesting.
What'd you call him?
But the committee.
The committee?
Have we not had this conversation? So if you've got 53 commanders, right? No one's in charge.
Yeah.
You're run by committee. So I insist on calling them the committee. And, of course, it's Washington, where everything works in committees. See? It's clever.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I like the commies. That's my favorite one.
Commies is funny as well.
My actual favorite one, I can't say. My actual favorite one, I cannot say on the podcast. It's my real
all right,
favorite
send
one. It's
me
a four-letter
DM.
Word, and it's ooh. It ends in us. Starts with C and four letter us. The us.
Ah. Nice.
Commander. Okay.
Raising the tone here. All right. So I like Matt Ioannidis. Look, this is disgusting. Whilst we're just talking about pass rushers, there's a couple of players who are going to get some decent time in more rounded scoring. I hate myself for saying this. I can't imagine it's going to work out. I think this is stupid. But Taven Bryan to the Browns.
Yes!
I don't entirely hate. Now, Taven Bryan is not very good. He's a massive bust. He was first-round pick, barely, that totally failed when he had all the opportunity in Jacksonville. Yes. But the Browns have got like no interior players whatsoever. They got no one. I mean, they had what's his name? Larry Ogunjobi last year, who's these days. And he was their best interior player. Is Taven Bryan worse than Larry Ogunjobi? I'm not sure he is. So at the moment, depending on roster, I'm sure they'll sign somebody else. I'm sure they'll get a rookie, blah, blah, blah. Taven Bryan is sort of on my radar for 100-man rosters.
I love it. I think it's a great spot.
Ugh. All right, a couple of interior players, just whilst we're talking about more rounded scoring. So if you look at the top of your DT scoring, and there's some guys up there who just did really well for getting lots of points. Lawrence Guy is the obvious one. If he's a top 15 player in your IDP league, then you can also look at Foley Fatakasi, maybe, for Jacksonville, DJ Jones in Denver. Sebastian Joseph Day, I really liked the Chargers. Really like that move, because they're desperate for a good interior player, and he is one. Harrison Phillips you mentioned, and that's about it.
Yeah, and I think specifically, I think this position, corner, safety, like, it's not time for them to be signed yet. It's just not. Like, there's going to be guys that are floating around. I mean, we'll go through the whole list after, but there's a lot of guys on here that can come in and play, and like, if they get signed the day before the season starts, they'll be fine. So I think that's definitely a position that there's going to be a lot of FA on your roster that you should definitely keep. I never cut anybody until it's the last possible chance of me cutting them. Then I'll cut somebody.
Yeah, I'm in one league, and the commissioner hasn't taken players off IR. So there's over 100 players on IR at the moment that shouldn't be. So obviously I'm just keeping mine on there.
Yeah, of course. Why not? All right. You want to
talk about linebacker? Yeah, the glamour position that everyone gets super excited about. And we talked about this quite a lot. It's coming back to relevance and premiumness because there's so few of them around who you can really rely on. So this is one of the biggest free agency deals so far, certainly on defense. And it's really bizarre. Why did the Jaguars give Foye Oluokun so much money?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, when you compare him to Miles Jack... I think there's, you know, that's nice, but
is,
I don't know.
Is he better?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they must have been playing IDP. I think that's what happened. The DC in Jacksonville was playing IDP, and this guy's great.
Maybe it sort of boggles my mind that in this day and age, you've got legit people are floating around the IDP world and going, yeah, Foye Oluokun is pretty good, you know, because he had so many tackles, and do none of these people go, oh yeah, he played more than any other linebacker in the NFL. And there's probably a good link between those two things, right? So, sure, he did it. Do you think he's going to come top of that list again? No, because he's not. That's really weird. Okay, I think they're really going to regret that. I think it's a bad decision.
Yeah, I agree.
However,
I was like, what? I was very surprised.
From IDP point of view, right, we sort of don't care. So is he going to play every snap that he's fit in Jacksonville? Yes, absolutely. Are the Jacksonville Jaguars going to play as much as any other NFL team? Yeah, they probably will. So if he stays healthy and 50% of starting linebackers play in every game, then sure, no reason why he can't be a top 12 linebacker again. But he's got no more chance of that happening to him than another 35 guys. So is he in that list of 35 people? Yeah, sure. Should you have him ranked higher than 20, 25, 30 of them? No, that's silly.
Absolutely, I agree. I fully agree. It's just, you know, let other people kind of draft him, and that's kind of my take.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We talk about this a lot. We did it with our mock draft the other day, right? And he's gonna be drafted probably as a top 5 linebacker. And look over at the guy who drafted him and go, oh man, that's a great pick. I was thinking about taking him in the next round. And smile away to yourself inside.
There you go. Perfect.
All right, let's talk about Miles Jack. Miles Jack has gone to Pittsburgh, and I was thinking about this week. Pittsburgh have now got Devin Bush and Miles Jack, who are the two current NFL best examples of linebackers who ran a fast 40 time and everyone therefore thinks they're good in coverage. And they're not. Neither of them are good at that. I saw someone describe the Steelers the other day as being a sort of big play and a heavy tackle guy. And you go, which one of those two linebackers is a big play? Because Miles Jack has got like 2 sacks in 5 years,
yeah,
and 4 picks in 6 seasons, something like that. He's not a big play guy. He's not an efficient tackler. He's not good. He's not a blitzer. He's not good at anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back in time, he was good. He was okay at those things, but seeing him now and seeing kind of his grades and what he's done, it's just not even close. And they're two of the worst graded coverage linebackers, like, in the NFL.
Awful.
They're like both bottom of a barrel for starters.
The other thing you get for Miles Jack as well, people go, oh, he's only 26. He's still young. I mean, he's played in the NFL 6 years. Do you think he's going to suddenly get much better? Is that why you care that he's young? He is what he is. He's not very good.
Yeah, I fully agree.
All right, sorry, you're having to take the brunt of this. I'm not shouting at you. I'm just a horse kicking the cart. I'm just kicking the cart, right? That was my Peaky Blinders.
You know,
moment.
The thing is, like,
that was good. That
Peaky Blinders. Yeah, I didn't watch the first season. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it was too brutal. I don't know.
Can you do me a Birmingham accent though? I bet you've got it in you. Birmingham, England, not Birmingham, Alabama.
I could say, no, I'm not gonna do it.
All right, what are you doing?
Give me something.
What do we skip out?
No, give me
what
do we
skip out? Would you like a cup of tea?
A cup of tea.
Keep it on.
A cup of tea. It's the Peaky Blinders.
Exactly. You nailed it. Perfect. Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, I mean, I think it's okay. Like, it just sucks when you have two, like, okay, like, they're not great players. They're both going to play a lot. It's going to be messy. And I mean, if you start rostering these guys, maybe, you know, you're talking about, like, I know Devin Bush is very highly rostered, and I know, what was the other guy who was there? Joe Shubert is too, and I know Miles Jack still has, you know, a lot of people who are fully on board. So, you know, I think
Shubert got cut, right?
Yeah, he did for sure. I just mean, like, you know, people are like, oh, my Devin Bush shares are ruined, and I'm like, why? No, why do you have Devin Bush shares?
Well, yeah, this is it. I mean, he's probably going to be gone in 12 months' time. So enjoy it while you can. There is only one full-time linebacker role in Pittsburgh, and there's barely one. So toss a coin. Could be either of those guys. I would expect it to be both of them at different times and neither of them to play 1,000 snaps.
Yeah,
so I suspect they'll both be disappointing because both of them are bad enough they're going to get dropped.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last year, specifically with Miles Jack, and this is when he was still on the Jags, but it's like, if he's LB60... I'm like, that was an awesome pick, and I feel great about it. You know, you know, if he's LB 30, even, you know, I'm just like, that was no, I don't want that. You know, so I think that's kind of the way to look at it there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this the other day. So, one more point on that. I at the moment, I look around the NFL, and there's about 35 to 40 guys I reckon could be a full time linebacker this year, and these two are sort of right on the edge of those. So if you can get them around LB 35-40, I'm okay with that. Anything more than that, nope, do not want.
All right, let's move on to another player, and this one actually hurts my heart a little bit because it's a player I like, and then he goes to another player
now
I like a lot, and it's Jordan Hicks signing with the Minnesota Vikings, which is like, you know, Nick Vigil played a lot last year, so, you know, it's not going to kill Eric Kendricks, but I think both are actually, I'd say they're pretty similar in, like, their, like, NFL goodness, the talent level these days. So I think it's fine for the team, but I don't like it either way. I mean, you got lucky because Jordan Hicks was really good last year, even though you thought he was going to get, like, cut. So that's nice, but it kind of hurts them both a little bit, I think, by a pretty good number. Anthony Barr's gone too, but Nick Vigil's gone. You know, there's some ability there, and I'm sure they'll add someone. They just always do, so yeah. Don't love it.
Yeah, agree with you. I'm looking at this at the moment, and scheme-wise, I fully expect Ed Donatell to be running one full-time linebacker role, and it's Eric Kendricks, because he's clearly better than Jordan Hicks. Although, I mean, Jordan Hicks and Eric Kendricks together, be still your beating heart. You are going to be super excited about that. So I quite like Jordan Hicks, and he'll probably get a chance to have some good games, but at the moment I've got him down for like 800 snaps.
Alright, he'll make it happen. No, but do you ever see those like videos of like the simulation where like basketball players all like get up at the same time? Or like they all like everyone like two people do things at the exact same time, the exact same. That's gonna be the whole year with Eric Kendricks and Jordan Hicks. They're going to look exactly the same. You're not going to be able to tell who's who, and they're going to be doing everything in the exact same motion. And there's going to be a lot of those like little simulation-breaking things. So
it's an interesting defense, this one.
Yeah.
Very excited. And I'm just excited Anthony Barr's gone because he's a depressing player. Let's talk about some more depressing players. Damian Wilson's gone to the Panthers. Yeah, I don't care about Damian Wilson going to the Panthers. He's going to play 30 snaps a week. Whatever. Enjoy yourself. The Broncos. We've sort of hinted about this. The Broncos got a load of mediocre players at key positions. So they've re-signed Josie Jewell. Woo. Great. Great. Good luck with that. And they've signed Alex Singleton. So they've changed all their coaches, all the system, and they're sticking with their slow, mediocre linebacker approach. See how that one works out for them.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, Josie Jewell, Alex Singleton, good run stoppers. It's 2022, though. So they're really, really bad in coverage. Like, really, I think Alexander may be of the, because he had to play more than you wanted him to last year. I think he's the worst. I think he came up as the worst coverage backer that played more than, I think it was, like, 600 snaps or something like that. There was some number that he went over that he is absolutely the worst at, and just pretty terrible. You know, decent run stopper. That's it. But, like, it's not... it could be, Tom, that we're seeing those safeties play more. And I think that may be, whereas you bring these run guys in, if they play together on first down and that's it, you know? Otherwise, it's one linebacker. You know, maybe it's okay. You know, it ends up being okay. For IDP, obviously, that's real bad. But, you know, there's a possibility that it's a bit messy when you have one linebacker and you have Josie Jewell, Alex Singleton, Justin Sturdivant, and Baron Browning. It's like, these guys are really not great in coverage. So it's going to be safety. It's going to be one guy. It's just totally messy. And there's really nobody that I feel like I want at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a difficult one. So new Broncos defensive coordinator is Ejiro Evero, however you say his name. By the way, who was born in England, in Colchester, in Essex. So really cool to see him. He is long-term Rams and before that Packers defensive coordinator. So he is absolutely going to run a bunch of one linebacker stuff, multiple safeties out there in the field, heavy on the back end, heavy pass rush, and one guy out there. Now, pros and cons of that. A, it's a really productive linebacker role. So trying to work out which linebackers are more productive than others is crazy hard. But linebackers you play in cover two and two high systems in single linebacker packages do tend to be more productive. So it's great news, which says there's probably going to be one linebacker in Denver who does really well. But I agree with you. The problem is it's probably going to be a different guy every week. You don't need to be a stud to do that, because the Rams have had rubbish linebackers out there for years. There's probably going to be decent numbers from a Rams linebacker. I just expect it to chop and change.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out who that guy's going to be. I kind of like Baron Browning. I mean, of the group.
Yeah.
He's like the only athletic guy who has like some upside as a coverage guy. So I think he's not a run stopper at all. So I feel like maybe, you know, when they move over to a one linebacker, you know, setup, then it's like that maybe they'll put him out there, but of the group, it's really bad. So let's talk about something else.
Yeah, worth having on your roster. Certainly in anything approaching decent size IDP roster, all of these guys are definitely worth grabbing and picking up at the moment. Now, there's a 75% chance your guy does absolutely nothing and you can just bin him, but worth doing it if you've got space now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about a few more of those, because there's really only those that we haven't talked about. Jalen Reeves-Maybin gone to Houston. You like this one, don't you?
I do. I mean, I liked him as a player coming out. I thought he was pretty athletic, so he never really did anything in Denver. In Detroit, I'm sorry. So, I mean, obviously not a ton to talk about. They did re-sign Kamu Brugge-Hill, you know, sort of a hybrid more of a hybrid type player in terms of edge versus inside linebacker, but he's an inside linebacker. He did really well last year, so I think that's more of a... Reeves-Maybin is sort of a depth backup coverage guy, and it'll be Kamu Brugge-Hill, who was pretty good last year, so nothing changing. They have a ton of holes in their roster. They've got a couple picks now to like do stuff with. You know, he was a waiver wire pickup, but I think someone that could have some good value continuing on and like super deep in startup. I don't know what he went in. I actually remember talking about him going a little earlier than I expected in the ADP one from last week, episode number 109. If you'd like to go find it,
nice.
you know.
And they re-signed Christian Kirksey, right? I think they did. Maybe I'm imagining it. Either way, again, another team. I think they're going to be rubbish. Oh, yeah, I don't believe in Lovie Smith. I think he's not very good. I think they're going to be a bad defense. But I expect two productive IDP roles here.
And I agree.
Whoever gets them, even if they're as rubbish as Christian Kirksey or Kamu Grugier-Hill or Jalen Reeves-Maybin, they're going to be good. So in 6 months' time, somebody's going to be sitting here going, oh, you got this guy for nothing, and he's turned out to be a top 12 linebacker. Mm-hmm. Absolutely could be the case. So these guys are worth having in your roster.
Yeah, and again, like, a lot of the offensive players are getting picked up pretty quickly, but the IDP kind of lags a little bit besides edge guys, so there's a lot of good inside linebackers out there too, and we'll go through that list after, but, you know, if you're like, why didn't you talk about blah, 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 I'm like, well, we didn't get there yet, so. Anybody else you want to say?
One more player I want to touch on. Yeah, one more, which is Leighton Vander Esch, who's re-signed on a one-year deal for Dallas. I expect him to play 600 snaps again. But Dallas is obviously a little bit up in the air because we just don't know what's going to happen with Parsons.
Yep. All right, let's go safety. It's a lot of free safeties got re-signed already, and some of the more strong safety players have not yet. So I don't know if there's that much to talk about. Marcus Williams in Baltimore doesn't do anything for me.
There's one I love, and I need to go Justin out Reed. And grab a couple of shares. No, Jordan Whitehead. I really like Jordan Whitehead going to the Jets. So the Jets, Robert Saleh, they play a lot more too high, and that's going to continue. But last year, there were certain times where it was a really clear box safety, and Jordan Whitehead is a box safety. So he has got absolute potential to be one of the safeties. We always talk about this. There's 50 safeties who are pretty interchangeable. Some of them will get lucky and score well. Some of them won't. You can't really tell. With most of them, Jordan Whitehead absolutely has the chance to be one of those guys. So if he's just going for free, I love him as a pickup right now.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I say Justin Reed because I like Justin Reed. I like the fit. He's not much more than a downhill banger type guy. So I don't think he's going to be like the virtuoso that Honey Badger was. So I think that's actually ends up being a good thing for IDP because he's a bit more of just a downhill guy. So I like that. I like him a little bit. Obviously, you said it, man. Safety is a crapshoot. It's really hard to pick these guys out. But I like Justin Reed, at least from a free agency move perspective.
Yeah, I'm less convinced. I think he's just going to be a guy there. He might do okay, but I want to see more about what the Chiefs do. Obviously, Daniel Sorensen is out of contract, and I think they've let him go. Tyrann Mathieu is out of contract. One Thornhill is not really an IDP that we care about. I mean, he could have a decent year, but I don't think there's anyone I love there, but I want to see what they do with the rest of their roster because they could change that defense up a bit.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Unless you got someone else, like this is a good time to transition to who's available because the safeties are... There's some deep safeties that are just sitting on the couch right now.
Yeah, a bunch of good players. Oh, one other we should talk about is Marcus May. Marcus May's interesting.
Oh, where'd he go? I actually didn't miss that one.
He's gone to the Saints. Okay. And he's so versatile. It depends what they do with him.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. There's some really good players hanging around. Just when we look at good IDPs, not necessarily good NFL safeties, Landon Collins, Rodney McLeod, Terrell Edmonds, Jabril Peppers, Daniel Sorensen, for all of his pains and issues. There's a load of these guys who could land in really great places. Jaron Curse, we expect to go back to Dallas, or at least I do, but a bunch of these guys could end up somewhere lovely.
Yeah, Cal O'Neill, Graham Jackson, I mean, just...
Yeah.
See, that's what it is, the safety. It's just, are you going to land in a spot that is IDP friendly or not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of the year, everyone's got seven safeties on their roster right in decent-sized league, and they all believe in them. So everyone believes the safeties they've got on their roster are going to be the good ones. But you've got no idea. You've got absolutely no idea. One person in your league will be right. They'll just get lucky. Everyone else is going to be wrong. So look, just sell them when you can because they're really interchangeable.
Yeah. All right. I mean, there's a couple of good linebackers, at least just starting with Bobby Wagner. I think wherever he goes, he'll be really good. I really want him to cover the Eagles. Just as like an Eagles fan, I think he'll be like absolutely lights out. I think it's definitely one of the best linebacker landing spots possible right now. So I'd love that, and that'd be really good for his value, and I would be happy all around.
Yeah, I agree with you. Wherever he lands, he's going to be an absolute stud. Yeah. So,
I think too, like wherever he goes, he's going to be like, I'm playing a lot, so I'm sure he'll get a pretty good setup somewhere.
Yeah, totally agree. Is there anybody else who? I mean, there's a few players that could land in really good spots, right? Because there are absolutely linebacker jobs open. We've talked about a few of them here. Is there anyone else who think wherever he lands, he's good enough that he probably has that sort of job?
Not really.
Not many obvious
I think it all depends
ones,
on
there.
That fit, right? Maybe AJ Johnson.
Could,
that's
right?
probably the only
I mean,
one.
Yeah, I Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins could land somewhere. Kaiser White is out of contract at the moment, who could land somewhere and do a really good job. It's possible.
Yeah. Quan Alexander, maybe, if you can say healthy.
And it gets ropey quick, doesn't it?
The list of players on the bench their couch just goes on and on and on. So.
Yeah, this is probably going to be, you get to that point in free agency.
Let's talk about edge a little bit, because I feel like there's a lot of good edge players that are still without contracts.
Yeah, who you got your eye on?
There's a lot of guys. I mean, obviously David Clowney, not great for IDP, but that's a good NFL spot. Za'Darius Smith, I think if he stays healthy, that's a good spot. A good guy. Trey Flowers, though, is the big one for me. That's the one where I feel like, and I think you talked about this last week, and it got into my head. And I'm like, man, wherever he goes, like, there's some potential there, because he was good. Just kind of wasted away.
Yeah, he's an excellent player. I mean, he tends to be a less than brilliant IDP because he's so sound and he doesn't abandon his run fits and just go chasing after the quarterback. But what we're seeing in the NFL more and more at the moment is players being, given the green lighting, they say. You've got the green light to just go after the quarterback and do whatever you want because there's so many RPOs and players have to be a little bit less rigid. So I don't think he's necessarily the best fit in the way those schemes are changing, but Trey Flowers could easily walk onto several teams and be the best player there. So if he signed for the Falcons, he is head and shoulders the best edge they've got by a mile. And there's probably another 3, 4, 5 teams where that's the case. So really interested to see what happens. Now, he'll probably end up going back to the Patriots and playing 400 snaps and we'll be really disappointed. But I like the look of him right now.
Yeah. The names go on and on and on. I mean, Derek Barnett is, he's young. Maybe he can get some better coaching if that's the problem. even some older guys, there's some availability there. I mean, it's a deep list of players. I don't know, JPP, he's on one list, but not on another list. So I think he may be under contract or an RFA or something like that. Oh, no, he's on here.
No, he's definitely free agent. So if you can get JPP or Jerry Hughes or Carlos Dunlap and you get one of those guys and go, look, I'm going to give you $6 million and you can be my number 3, number 4 guy and play on a decent team. Do you remember when Chris Long went to the Patriots? And he'd come off a couple of bad years and they're like, look, we'll give you a bit of cash and just bulk out our rotation and be a really good part of it. All of those guys are absolutely loving that sort of role. Melvin Ingram as well. Do I want them to play 800 snaps and be a really reliable IDP? No, I won't feel confident in any of them doing that. But as a spot player who is going to get some really good success, man on man, yes, love all those
absolutely.
Guys.
All right, anybody else you want to touch on that's out here?
Let's talk about my favourite deal in free agency, Emmanuel Ogba. What is the local media down in Florida saying about giving him $65 million?
They're happy with it, I believe. I believe that is a sentiment that I've seen. Yep.
Cool. Good luck to them. I hope it works out well.
Same, right? Hey, you drafted a really good edge in Jalen Phillips. Let's just add it. Let's give him a lot. Though I think he had a decent year. I mean, let's be real. So.
Yeah, he's had two good years, and I like his flexibility, right? Because he basically plays on the edge and he plays on the inside in odd fronts. But you're paying him $65 million when you could have phoned up Calais Campbell and gone, I'll give you $7 million per and just come down and do a job for me for one more year. I mean, who knows whether he would sign? But there are players who are a better quality available. I don't see the point in doing that. You can get Kerry Hyder. Is he a worse player? I don't think so.
Ooh, yeah, interesting. Akeem Hicks. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Akeem Hicks hasn't got the same flexibility. So, okay, yes, is he better at playing that sort of 3 to 5 tech? Yes, I absolutely believe he is. But maybe you can see the front office going, I need a guy that can play in both those fronts. Mm-hmm. But there's still plenty of them around.
Yeah.
F.A. Obada, for a start, get him in. He's not going to cost you $65 million. Adam Gotsis is an okay player. He's not terrible. And he can do that.
Yeah, the list goes on and on and on and on. It's crazy sometimes. You see the players, you're like, man, what happened to some of these guys?
Yeah, agree. Sorry, one cornerback I do think is worth raising. This is an interesting one, whether you call him a cornerback, is Logan Ryan. So Logan Ryan got cut by the Giants and signed for the Buccaneers because him and Tom Brady and blah, blah, blah. I'm interested in that one.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, some of the corner stuff is just very, very fluid. And definitely we'll have a corner show like we always do every year. And it'll be a good time. It'll be 1 week before the season starts.
I need to start thinking about that. Obviously not thinking about it at the moment because we've got no idea what's going on. Oh, another player in the longer list. Ogbonnia Okoronkwo went to Houston. And we talked about Trey Flowers just now, right? And having players who would instantly... Good. Trey Flowers would be the best edge rusher in Houston by a mile. Okoronkwo might be at the moment. So quite like that. All right, we're scraping the barrel, aren't we? Should we just stop talking?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. well, at least we only did this at the end of the show, right? Rather than having to sit through 20 minutes of us talking about random long-tail NFL players. Anyway, that's it. This has been the first week of free agency. It is a boatload of fun. Love seeing where these guys land. We've talked about the long tail as well. So week two is going to be brilliant. That is where you really find bargains that can help your team win. And frankly, the teams that do really well are going to do really well next week. And that's not a surprise or a shock. So keep your eyes on it. It should be great. And there's a bunch more IDP guys to come. Don't make massive, drastic decisions now. Leave it another week, and then you can really get some targets. And that is one of the opportunities to go after players. We always say there's a couple of real windows, which is sort of after free agency and around the draft and in summer camp. And those are the times where you can really make IDP pay for you. So heads up, pay attention. It's coming. But for now, we're going to knock on the head. We have been Adam Seekes and Tom Kislingberry, The Read and React. Thank you, as always, for your time, your patience, your attention, your love, and your wonderfulness. Have a great week. Cheerio.